Heart has a brand new way to wake up.
Fresh off the back of a chat only a week and a bit ago with the current Glenorchy Mayor, Christy Johnston, it was revealed that, wow, she's going to have a crack at state parliament. Joins me in the studio now. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Really well. Thank you.
Big decision.
It is a big decision, and it's something that I've been giving some consideration for a long time. There's been rumours going around for quite a number of years.
I hadn't heard any of them. I hadn't, no.
But I have been giving it some consideration and talking with the community. I've really felt that they are frustrated with the political parties and the games that they play, and the fact that they're more interested in their own party politics than they are about the community. And also frustration that the things I see coming across my desk every day as a mayor are things that really do fall within the state government's remit, and they're just not being addressed. So I've always been the kind of person who said if you're going to have a whinge and complain about something, you need to be part of the solution. So I've been whinging about some of the things for quite some time. It's time to be part of the solution.
Okay. It's that sort of feedback that you've had from citizens is exactly what I've been getting for decades now, that the political class is all chattering about themselves and the media loves chattering about the politicians chattering about themselves. And the practical upshot is the issues that actually impact real people in a real day-to-day way are not being addressed by politicians. So it's one of the reasons I open up the show on Fridays, just for calls to come in on Free Range Friday, just to try and correct that imbalance. So what are the issues that people are coming to you about that you'd like to be able to solve, but they are in the remit of the state parliament?
Look, there's no doubt that, you know, we're experiencing some really tough challenges at the moment, particularly post-COVID. So obviously I've been talking to you a lot about Hobart Rail, for instance, and the need for that desperately.
I had a little chat with the Treasurer about that the other morning and suggested that he's probably going to get hit up for coin at some point.
He will be. He would definitely be. No matter where I am, he will definitely be.
Okay.
Things like that. But also, you know, in my community in particular, poker machines are really a key issue. So the harm that they cause in our community by being in pubs and clubs is immeasurable almost. It's such a huge amount of harm is caused. And the community are really concerned that their voice isn't being heard, that they need to see harm minimisation measures put in place. They need to see them out of our pubs and clubs.
Didn't we have a referendum on this issue basically at the last state election, though, which was such a front and centre issue for Labor and the Greens particularly? And the people went to vote and voted back the Liberal government.
Look, the election was what it was last time, but we certainly saw the influence of party donations in that particular campaign and a lot of corporate money spent.
So push for more reform in that area, would you?
Push for more reform. Okay. We need to at least work on harm minimisation with the end goal of having them out of our pubs and clubs, because they do cause a lot of harm. We have the awful distinction of being the golden mile in Glenorchy, where we spend $2 million a month on poker machines. That's $2 million not going on into small businesses. That's $2 million not being spent on children's meals and education. It's a lot of money that's just going down the drain.
Pubs and clubs would argue that they put a whole bunch of money back into the community as well that is sourced from poker machine revenue. That's not part of the equation here?
They certainly do put some money back into the community, and no doubt about that. But when we saw poker machines close during COVID-19, we saw our small businesses thriving because that money was going back around in the community. And certainly we didn't suffer that the fact that those poker machines were closed during COVID-19. But when they opened again, our small businesses definitely reported that they experienced a downturn in business and it worked pretty hard. The other issue for the community is health, of course. And so getting right access to the right healthcare at the right time and the right place. And certainly people are telling me that they want to have alternatives to having to go into the Royal, into the emergency. They want to be able to go see a GP when they need to. They want to have care in their home and they want to have the appropriate care.
There's an interesting little setup has occurred in Launceston where you can effectively go to a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week GP for all intents and purposes to prevent you from having to sit in emergency at LGH for hours before you're seen, sort of handling some of the overflow.
It's not rocket science, is it?
No,
really?
Well, it's funny because
under
the previous health minister, Michael Ferguson, and I had a chat about exactly these sorts of issues, 5 years ago now.
Yeah, and we're still talking.
It seems like just such an obvious and simple thing to do to, in effect, triage people off to the emergency department if they absolutely need kind of procedure or they're in a life-threatening situation, something like that. But for those who are there for more, you know, the common cold, got a bit of a snuffle, I've got the flu or something like that, we triage them off to the equivalent of a GP that's co-located.
That's it. I mean, it's much better for people's health outcomes if they can be treated close to their home or in their home, yep. even better. So when we're dealing with chronic illnesses and things like that, to be able to be treated in your community, in your home, is much better than going into a hospital, and certainly relieves the pressure on our hospital system and makes sure it's there for those really chronic issues or emergency issues, but makes sure we get better outcomes for our community in their homes.
You've got to run as an independent. You no doubt have fielded phone calls from both of the major parties attempting to coerce you to their side. The other note here of some importance, I would argue, is you're going to fund this entirely yourself. You won't be seeking any donations whatsoever.
Look, I'm fiercely independent. I always have been since I've been a little girl, and I will continue to be. But it's really important to me that I'm there representing the community, not representing a party platform or what the party says I have to say. It's important that I'm there representing the community. And so for me, that means funding my campaign entirely by myself. And that's really important. I think that I can't be bought. I won't have my strings pulled by anyone, any big corporate donors or any political party. What I will be there is to serve the community and to listen to them first.
They're not cheap to run political campaigns, especially at the state level, as you know.
They are not. And I'm really aware of the big challenge ahead of me. I can't match dollar for dollar the kind of coin that the political parties pay for election campaigns. But what I can do is work really hard. And that's what I've done right throughout my term as mayor. And I will continue to do and just to be out there listening to the people.
What's been your single success as Glenorchy mayor? What are you most proud of?
Look, what I'm really proud of is I went in as mayor because I saw the challenges that Glenorchy City Council faced at the time. I thought that there was corruption and maladministration. And as I say, I don't complain without being part of the solution. So I put my hand up. And when I became mayor in 2014, I saw that there indeed was serious maladministration. The Glenorchy people were being ripped off. They weren't being served well by their council. So I uncovered that. I shone a light on that. It was took a Board of Inquiry, Integrity Commission and Auditor General's report to do that, a dismissal of the council. But then I came back and I've put the council back onto a solid foundation of good governance and financial management. It sets it up for the opportunities that are coming our way. We've got a $1.9 billion pipeline of development happening at the moment and a really bright future. So I'm proud to say that I listened to the people's concerns, I took them on, I shone a light on them, and now we've back and fixed them.
Has the example of Madeleine Ogilvy and the things she's been able to achieve, part of which was the Glenorchy Jobs Hub. Which she lobbied pretty hard for to get the government to fund. Have you seen what she's been able to do as part of the reason you've decided to go down this path as an independent, running in Clark?
Look, I think independence in all levels of government are really important to bring that voice of the community to the table rather than the party politics. And certainly, you know, things like jobs hubs and shining a light on different issues to the community is really important, and independence can do that. And certainly, I'm really excited this afternoon. I'm chairing the Jobs Hub Steering Committee and we're cracking on with the great work there. But it takes, you know, independence and all sides to be able to get that kind of initiative up.
Would you consider working with, it's probably unlikely that an independent is going to get elected to the seat. I mean, you realise that, don't you?
I realise the big challenge ahead of me.
You're really pushing it uphill. But would you consider, just in the unlikely situation that two independents were elected to the seat, both yourself and Madeleine, would you see yourself working together to try and achieve what you want?
Look, as an independent, you can work with everybody. So you're free to accept the good ideas and embrace those, and free to reject the bad ideas. So whether it's independent, green, Labor, Liberal or any other party, if you've got a good idea, then it's worth, you know, exploring and being accepted. If you've got a bad idea, though, it's really important it's being called out. And that's the beauty of being an independent.
When do we start seeing posters up around the place?
Look, the election hasn't been called yet. It's not due for some time. You don't want to see my face everywhere.
It doesn't hurt to get in early, though, as you know.
You don't want to really see my face everywhere just yet. But, you know, I'm out talking to people all the time in the community as mayor, and I think it's important I continue to do that and do my job as mayor.
So door-knock campaign, door-to-door, is that how you'll be running it?
Look, I'll certainly be very much out and about. And I always am anyway. And I think it's, you know, it's about making those connections with the people and listening to their concerns.
All right. You have a task ahead of you. I admire the idea that you are attempting to do this yourself and fund it yourself. The perceptions here are as important as the reality often. And if the perception is that you are completely self-funded and you're making the decisions based on your own integrity, then that's, I think, a good thing out there in the electorate. And there'll be probably more of it as people get increasingly dissatisfied with the major parties. Glenorchy Mayor Christy Johnston, we could probably talk about a dozen other issues. I'd be happy to do that at some point.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for coming in today. Best of luck for the run, and we will inevitably talk again.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate your time. Christy Johnston, the Glenorchy Mayor, running as an independent candidate in the Hobart seat of Clark in the coming state election.
Live from Hobart, 6 a.m. weekdays, Brian Carlton, the Spoon Man on 107.3 Triple M.